Well, so appropriate, before I was going to read the gospel, I noticed that my batteries were dead. So that's why I had to go to the sacristy real quick. But it really ties into my message today, because I'm going to be sharing about the reality of how in our life a lot of times we can have, if you will, like dead batteries. We might be kind of tired and burned out, and we need a new set of batteries. We need to recharge, if you will. So it was very, very timely. Today, actually, I'm going to be concluding my series on the spirituality of caregiving, believe it or not. It's been going on low these many weeks, and I fit it in where I could. Today's message, I think, is really timely, especially with the scriptures we have about the Lord being our shepherd and we being his sheep and the importance of us following him and following his lead. You know, as we hear today in Psalm 23, it says at the very beginning of that psalm, that beautiful psalm, that the Lord is our shepherd and that he will lead us beside green pastures and also beside still waters. But the important thing for us as sheep is, are we following his lead? Are we going along the place that he's guiding us to, that we might be fed and watered as he desires for us? And one of the ways in which he feeds us is in our quiet times with him, of prayer and solitude. Henry Nouwen shares, it requires solitude and silence to become aware of the divine moments taking place in our lives. God does not shout, scream, or push. God is love, only love, and God's Spirit is the Spirit of love, longing to relate to us and to guide us to the place where the deepest desires of our heart can be fulfilled. And so this is the final, but I think probably one of the most important parts of Nouwen's book on the spirituality of caregiving. And that is simply this, that caregivers need care. So often caregivers are understandably focused on the people that they're caring for. And they're pouring forth all of this energy and effort and love into the person that they're concerned about. And by very nature, that's how you would define a caregiver, as somebody who gives care to someone. But at the same time, Henry brings out a very, very important point to us, and that is this, that caregivers need to feed their spirit as well. Very important part of caregiving is taking time to take care of yourself and allowing the Good Shepherd to do that in your own life as well. One of the ways in which we feed our spirits is through solitude. And again, one of the things I imagine that some of you are thinking about right now is, Father Joe, I'm just too busy for solitude. Exactly. That's part of your problem. You're too busy for solitude. But you see, solitude is simply creating a daily sacred space for meditating on the Word, prayer, and reflection. I've always encouraged people, even if you're not a morning person, to take a few moments in the morning for solitude, to take time in your devotion, or maybe you read the scripture, maybe there's a daily devotional you use, like the daily bread, whatever it might be. But spend some time reading the scripture at the beginning of the day. Spend some time in prayer, not only letting God know what you need and what you want, but also taking time to listen to him. And then just spend some time being quiet at the beginning of the day. And do that in the morning and also in the evening. It's a great way to begin your day. It sets the tone for it. By doing that, you're inviting God into your life and to move during that day. And then if you do it at the evening as well, it also invites a time of reflection and just considering what happened during the day. And then if you have an especially busy day, as Martin Luther would do, if it was really slammed during the day, he would get up an extra hour early in the morning to pray and be with God. So maybe for some of us, maybe that's a 15 minutes earlier to begin with. But you know, as we do that, as we take time in the morning and the evening and other times during the day to worship the Lord, to connect with him and to receive from him, what happens is that occurs. We are filled with love rather than anger and hatred. We are filled with peace rather than anxiety and worry. We are filled with joy rather than disgust and contempt. We are filled with energy rather than beginning our day as a cup that is half full. And you know, that's part of the challenge of our lives, isn't it? We're so busy and we're so giving out to other people and giving to the goals of our lives that we don't take time to fill the cup back up, the cup of our lives. And one of the things that I've consistently shared with you during this study and now and also shares in the spirituality of caregiving is that if you are in a place of anger, if you are in a place of emptiness, if you are in a place where you really don't want to go in and give care to that person, don't do it. Don't do it. But Father Joe, I got to do it. No, you don't have to do it. Don't do it. Believe me, they'll be better off if you don't go in there than if you do. Because they'll pick up on all that negative energy. They'll pick up on all the things that you're struggling with. They'll feel drained by your emptiness because that's what happens. Empty people tend to drain other people because they need energy. And so that's what they do. They're like a black hole. That it's not going to be a good experience. And so again, I would just invite you into this image. You know, as we're living out our day, as we're giving to other people, one of the things that you and I need to be very intentional about doing is taking time to fill the cup back up. And that's something that God does for you. I mean, you can have some renewal by walking on the golf. Maybe you like to renew in other ways, some of the sports activities you're involved in, reading. There's a lot of great ways we renew our energy. But one of the ways you renew your energy spiritually is through solitude and just spending time alone with God. It is the most important thing, I believe, one of the most important things a Christian can do. And in fact, Jesus modeled this solitude. You remember in the scriptures that early in the morning, even before they began ministry, Jesus was off praying long before the disciples got up. And as you read in the scriptures, he did this time after time after time. And there are also other moments of ministry where Jesus was busy ministering to a crowd. There were healings that were going on. He was feeding thousands of people. And then what did Jesus do in the midst of that? As everybody was running to and fro and all this frenetic activity was going on, Jesus often would pull his disciples away from the crowd and say, you know what, we got to get away from here. You know, it's time to take a break and to recharge. Jesus had an incredible ability to know when he needed to get away and be with God. And that is the same ability that you and I need to begin to develop. We need to have a spiritual sensitivity to God that is greater than anything else, that we would know, you know what, I need to get away and I need to recharge with God. And you see, Jesus modeled this. And don't write him off. Some of you are writing him off because he's the Messiah and he's God's son. And that's something Jesus does. I don't do that. Well, guess what? Jesus did it to model it to you. He did it as an example of how you and I are supposed to live our lives. And as we are in ministry, one of the things we need to do is we need solitude. We need prayer. We need time in God's scripture alone with him that we might be refilled to overflowing. Guess what? As you're living out your life, God wants you to be a cup that is running over. You ever see those fountains that are running over? That's how you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be that fountain. Not like the fountain we have. It's sometimes on the patio, you may notice the fountain is running and it's bone dry. We're working on it. We continue to work on that fountain. You're not supposed to be that bone dry fountain. You're supposed to be that overflowing fountain that has water and grace and love just pouring out of you. And we get that by solitude. That's how you feed your spirit. Another way in which caregivers feed their spirit is through community. Embrace relationships where you find honest support. If you have someone or maybe a couple of people in your life who are honest with you, who can listen to what you have to share, who have a genuine care and concern about you, then embrace those relationships. I know for me, over time, I can really count them all on one hand. And actually, that's a lot. And I'm sure for many of you, it's the same way. Out of those kind of relationships grow mutually supportive human relationships. Now and shares, we truly need one or more real friends to share our own feelings of frustration, powerlessness, or anxiety. When others hear, respect, and respond to our questions with gentle, supportive, and sometimes challenging honesty, we're reminded we don't have all the answers and that we are not meant to be saviors. Remember that. We are not meant to be saviors. There's only one. By not feeling guilty because we need others for spiritual, emotional, and physical sustenance, we are more likely to find wisdom and balance for the long haul. So you see, again, in this spirituality of caregiving and even in living our life, we need community. And again, your community might be one other friend that you have or a couple of people. But there needs to be a degree of community in your life and in my life so that there can be a connection. God made us to have connections with one another. It's one of the reasons why if you come here during the week and you, I would invite you if you came here during the week, come on Wednesday or Thursday, you'll notice in Brewster Hall there are a number of 12-step groups. And those groups are just really literally busting at the seams. There are more and more people joining those groups. Why is that? It's because they're finding human connection there. It's because they are alcoholics. They are drug addicts. They are people that are struggling with weight issues or gambling or whatever it might be. And they're coming to these 12-step groups, and they're finally finding someone who they can say to, you know what, I'm an alcoholic. I have a problem with that. And they're heard. They're not condemned. They're listened to. They're held accountable and have to be honest when they go on a binge and then find out, you know what, that's not good. You need to stop doing that. And that's why they keep coming back to these groups, is because in these groups, through these honest human connections, they find love. We're all looking for the same thing. We're looking for that love and that human connection. They find sobriety. They find honesty. They find their life in a way that's authentic and rings true to them. And they find healing. Wonderful things. Wonderful connections. Wonderful community that the Lord is inviting us to in this place as well. Another way in which you and I as caregivers can find renewal and energy again is to embrace your life. You know, one of the most important things you can do as a caregiver periodically is leave the caregiving environment. Get out of the house. Get away from that person. Whether it's your husband or your wife, whether it's a friend that you're taking care of, I know you love them, I know you care about them, but one of the best things you can do for them is get out of the house. Get away from them for a while. Go work out, go read, go out to lunch, go out to dinner, get together with somebody else, but whatever you do, get out and renew your batteries. Change the batteries out. Refresh yourself. Be renewed. You need to regularly engage in the gift of your life. Just because you're caring for someone doesn't mean you've totally given up your life. Caring for someone is a part of your life, and sometimes it is an all-consuming part of your life. What I'm saying to you is get out of there and take a break, because as you do, you'll be renewed and refreshed in living. You'll be energized and directed in your next steps. Probably the most important thing you can do. Last night, after I had this message, at the very end, after everybody had left, there was a woman who came to me and was in tears. And she had been suffering with guilt for years, decades, because in a particular season of her life, her husband was dying and her mother was dying at the same time. She had been caregiving for her father for a while, I mean her husband for a while, and then when her mother started to die, she began to caregive for her as well. And she shared with me yesterday at the end of our service, she said, you know what, Father Joe, about every third day I had to take a break because my body was just saying to me, I can't do this anymore. And she said this with tears streaming down her face. And she said to me, you know what, I felt so guilty doing that. I felt so guilty taking that break. I felt like I was not loving them. I felt like I was not there for them. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to have said to her, you know what? You absolutely did the right thing. You did the right thing. And it took a few moments for her to hear that. And we had some prayer together that there could be healing and forgiveness of her guilt. It was a false guilt. It really was. She was condemning herself. And I understand that. She wanted to be there for those people she loved so much 24/7. But it is humanly impossible to do that. And you're not meant to do that. And so she was able to begin to hear that and to realize, you know, one of the things I said to her is, why don't you celebrate the love that you did give to him? Why don't you celebrate the 5 days that you were with them rather than beat yourself up over the couple of days of rest that you needed each week? And so I think there began to be a breakthrough for her in that moment. If you're here today suffering from any kind of guilt that you did not give enough care to somebody that was around you, I would invite you, along with that woman, to begin to celebrate what care you did give to them and the love and the example that you were to them. In closing, there is a blessing in caregiving. The caregiving blessing has come from those who we want to serve, the poor in spirit and body, who in the midst of their broken weakness can be a sacrament to us of God's presence in a very special way. The blessing is a glimpse of the face of God and seeing heaven. We see God in the face of Jesus, and we can see the face of Jesus in all of those who need our care. We so much need a blessing, and those in need of our care are waiting to bless us. So I would encourage us in this spiritual life that we're living, this journey that we're on, in this spirituality of caregiving, to be open to seeing the face of Jesus in one another. Sometimes you see Magilla Gorilla. I acknowledge that. Sometimes you see someone and it's like, man, I just got to get out of here right now. You're really angry. I don't like how you're behaving. But there are moments where you and I can see the face of Jesus. And the moment when you and I can see the face of Jesus is when we can look in the eyes of that person who is broken, who is weak, and who is needy. And in that moment, by the grace of God, share the spirit and the love of Jesus Christ and be open to them sharing that spirit with us as well.